morning. Good morning and welcome to Rabbi Sacks' Sunday morning shiur. This morning the shiur is being sponsored by Linda and Mark Grunbaum and Ruthie and Eliezer Stasky in memory of Judith Grunbaum, Yehudis Bas Yosef Halevi Aleha Shalom. This morning's topic is Bikur Cholim B'chol Gadol Rav Sacks.
By way of introduction to the topic of Bikur Cholim, let me begin the comment that we've discussed in the past, the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayis Chumad of Kukum Adays, regarding the Isser of Gid Hanasha. The Mishnah cites the machlokas between Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim, whether the Isser of Gid Hanasha applies to a Behema Temeya. Rabbi Yudah says yes, and the Chachamim argue that this is not true. After all, Gid Hanasha should only apply to an animal that otherwise one is allowed to eat. If it's a behemoth tahora, you're allowed to partake of animal, with exception of gid hanasha. If, however, it's an animal that is entirely forbidden, then we apply the principle of ein iser chal al iser. In such a case, the prohibition additionally of gid hanasha does not apply. Rabbi Yehuda tries to prove his view by studying the following. The iser of gid hanasha is already written in Parshas Vayishlach. It was given to Bnei Yaakov. And at that point in time, it was before the Torah already gave us the prohibition, the distinction between Behema Tahora and Behema Temeya. Just as then, the Isra of Gid Hanasha applied to all animals, the same thing is true for us as well. And the Chachamim argue and comment as follows, that no, Misinai Nesra, Ela Shenichtav Bimekoma. What exactly does that mean? And here you'll find several possibilities in the Rishonim. Rashi writes, Natsug Yechum Daf Kuf Madei is the following, and that is that the Isra of Gid Hanasha was not really given to Bnei Yaakov at all. It was given to us at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. Why was it written in Parshas Vayishlach? Very simply, to provide context, to provide background. You'll ask me, what is the reason for the Isra of Gid Hanasha? Therefore the Torah places this Isra within Parshas Vayishlach in order to tell us the intent of the Isra, why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbids eating the Gid Hanasha itself. But yet, it was not given to Bnei Yaakov, but rather it was given to us at the time of Mamad Har Sinai. The Sefer HaChassidim in fact argues as follows, that true, the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha was given to us at Har Sinai, but Bnei Yaakov, Eino Mitzvah V'Yosa, on their own volition, adopted the practice of not eating the Gid Hanasha, but technically speaking, the mitzvah was given to us at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. If you look at the Rambam, in Pirush Mishnayos Chun Kuf Mem Beis, the Rambam writes the following, V'sim libcha ela ikar hagadol hanichla b'mishnah hazos. Pay special attention to the principle that is implied in this Mishnah, and that is very simply the Torah tzivah lana Moshe, the Taryag mitzvos, nemer la Moshe misinai. Exactly what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam explains as follows. It's true that the Bnei Yaakov were given the Isser of Gid Hanasha. However, if you will ask, why is it that we observe Gid Hanasha? The Rambam writes it is not because of their tzivui, but rather because of our tzivui. The Rambam writes it's true that the Avos engaged in various mitzvos. Indeed, they were commanded to fulfill many different mitzvos as well, but yet that is not the basis of our performance of mitzvos. We look to the Avos as a model of Avodas Hashem. However, if you want to know the detail of mitzvos, then Torah Tzivah Lana Moshe. So the Rambam writes as follows. It's true that Bnei Yaakov were given the Isra of Gid Hanasha, but yet the reason we observe this prohibition is because it was reiterated at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. And at that point, it only applied to a Behema Tahora and not to a Behema Tameya. Initially, for Bnei Yaakov, it applied universally. But yet, for us, it only applies to a Behema Tahora. And the Rambam gives us a further example, the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Why is it that we observe the mitzvah of Bris Milah? The Rambam writes, not because Bris Milah was given to Avram Avinu, but rather at Mamad Har Sinai, then we were given the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is not only found in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bris Milah in Parshas Tazria, and therefore the basis of our performance is because Torah Tzivulon Moshe, Taryag Mitzos Nemer Lamoshe Misri Nemi. In fact, the Gemara writes in Shabbos, Nafkuf Lamed Hei, that Rapasi maintained the following interesting chiddush. We treat this as a suffix, lahalacha. Is there a correlation between a natural birth, days of Tumah, days of Tahara, and Mila, Biyom Hashmini? If you look in Parshas Tazria, that's exactly what the Torah tells us. Isha ki Tazria v'yodo Zachar, a natural Eva, accompanied by first days of Tumah, followed by days of Tahara, and then Uviyom Hashmini, Yimo Besar, Arlaso. Rav Asi is of the opinion that if Ein Imo Tumea Leida, if it is a time that the Leida is not accompanied by Tumin Tara, for example, you're dealing with the cesarean section, then the Bris Mila is not on day 8. The Torah only describes Mila Biyom Hashmini as that which follows a natural Leida. The Gemara asks, how can that be? Doros HaRishonim Yochichu. Day 8 was already mentioned as Bris Mila here in Parshas Lech Lecha, the time of Avraham Avinu. And as of that point in time, it wasn't mentioned in association with days of Tumah, days of Tara. The Gemara answers that Nitna Torah v'nischadshu halacha. This meal is given to us at Har Sinai. And there was a fundamental change. What was true then of Bris Mila is not necessarily true now. We treat this as a sfeika d'dina. That's what the Baal HaMoor writes. If, for example, a child is born through a C-section, we will wait l'chumra until day 8 in order to perform the Bris Mila, but we'll treat that as a Mila shelo bizmana, because maybe the Mila should have been done earlier on day 1. And therefore, if the baby was born on Shabbos, we will not have the Bris on day 8 Shabbos, but rather day 9 on a Sunday. So therefore, we treat this as a Seika Dedina. So the Gemara writes that it's true, Avraham Avinu was given a mitzvah Bris Mila, but yet, that is not the basis, the Rambam writes, of our performance. And therefore, when it comes to Gerat Asha, when it comes to Bris Mila, the details of the mitzvah are derived, are gleaned from Matan Torah, not for the practice of the Avos itself. Yet, when you look throughout the Gemara, you do find that the practice of Avos can serve not only as a broader model of Avodas Hashem, but at times, even relevant when it comes to mitzvot itself. The Gemara, for example, in Sefer Adav Dalet, discusses the concept of, you know, of zrizim matim in the mitzvot. A person should fulfill the mitzvot Hashem with enthusiasm, with a sense of passion, and what is its source? Vayashkem Avram Baboker. The Gemara Yevamos and Daf Membeis discusses the need for havchana. If a marriage is severed, there is a death or divorce, we don't allow the woman to marry immediately. Why is that true? We insist on a window of time of havchana in order to be able to determine who in fact the father of this child is. Was it the first husband or the second husband? What is the source of havchana? So there, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, "Miyosmach Elokim ulizaracha acharecha," the need to preserve zera, to establish one's yuchsin, one's lineage, and that means to be aware of who is the father, who in fact is the mother. The Rishami writes in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah the concept of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, the need to go in and to express every Simcha in its fullest. Where is that derived? From the pasuk of Malei Shavua Zos, that Yaakov Avinu was told, you have married Leah, it's necessary to experience the Simcha Shivisimei Amishta before marrying Rachel. These are examples of concepts, apparently, of mitzvos that one is able to derive, although the psukim are found Kodam Matan Torah. But yet when it comes to Gidan Ashanat, when it comes to Bris Mila Nat, even when it comes to other examples itself, Avelus. We assume that Avelus of Shiva is only Zerabanan. And what about the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi regarding Yaakov, you know, Vayas La'aviv Evel Shivas Yamim? That's what the Yerushalmi writes, that the Chila made him Mikoda Matan Torah. Koda Matan Torah does not serve as a basis of mitzvot. So a simple question. When do you glean from Koda Matan Torah and when do you not? It's relevant in a sense to issues of Bikur Cholim, Nichom Avelim, because after all, the Gemara Sota and Daf Yudal, when it discusses the primacy, the importance of these mitzvot, points to Parshas Vayera, for example, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to be Mevaker Cholet, to appear to Avraham Avinu, Yom Shlishi in the Miyasa, for the purpose of Bikur Cholim. And the Gemara derives from there, if that is true, Mahu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, Afata, Bakir Cholim. In the very end of the parsha, when Avraham Avinu is Niftar, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes, Vayivarech Elokim es Yitzchak Beno, as Rashi comments based on the Gemara, this is Birkas Avelim. So, Mahu Biker Avelim, Afata Baker Avelim. We also are obligated to engage in these practices. So at once, even though Ein Lameidim Mikodem Matan Torah, but yet, the models of the Avos, even the model of Kadosh Baruch Hu being Mevaker Cholet, Menachem Avelim, that also serves as a basis for our practice as well. How does one in fact distinguish? When do we allow you to derive from Kodesh Matan Torah? When do you assume that no, Ein Lameidim Mikodesh Matan Torah? Then it still points out in Shiltos and Parshas Vayechi that perhaps one could raise the issue, should there be any reason to distinguish between Kodesh Matan Torah as opposed to La'achar Matan Torah? Is there itam or svara machalik? Let's assume, for example, we know that the Torah praises Avraham Avinu. Vayashkim Avraham Bavokir, Zrizim Atim Lemitzvos. And the Gemara comments, Pesachim and Abdallah, the primacy of Zrizos, enthusiasm, passion, zealousness when it comes to the Mitzvah Hashem. Should one argue that that was only true then, and somehow it's not true now? That Kodesh Matan Torah, that was important, but the Achar Matan Torah, that really is irrelevant, and a person can be very lackadaisical in the performance of a mitzvah. Why would one assume that that principle only applies then and doesn't apply now? When it comes, for example, to the concept of Havchana, the need to preserve lineage, yuchsin, that was only true then. And the Achar Matan Torah, that's considered to be an irrelevant factor. Or the concept of in marbin simcha b'simcha, only then. And achar matan Torah, the need to go ahead and to appreciate each simcha, is something that would not apply to us. And it should comment that if it is clear that this is something true that is recorded Kodesh Matan Torah, but it is something that we can assume is a priority throughout the millennia, therefore we can glean even from Kodesh Matan Torah as well. However, let's assume, for example, regarding Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was renowned, and the Torah describes Vayasla Abivevel Shivas Yamim. How do you know that that was meant as a model, as a rule of Doros? Maybe that was clearly something that was exceptional. And therefore, perhaps one can argue as follows that that cannot serve as the basis of mitzvos, la'achar matan Torah. When it comes to Avraham Avinu in Bris Milah, true as a Krisas Bris, Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Avraham regarding Bris Milah, but how do we know that that was in fact a clear, exact model of the Doros? The Gemara even points out, Yavamos and Ayin Aleph, that the tzivui that was given to Avraham Avinu was somewhat different than our mitzvah of Bris Milah. Avraham Avinu was only commanded to remove the Or HaMilah, the outer layer. Our mitzvah of Bris Milah contains at least two elements, that of Milah, but additionally, that of Priya. And Avraham Avinu was not commanded regarding Priya. If you see indeed that there are differences between his mitzvah, our mitzvah, isn't that an indicator that that does not serve as that which is a mitzvah doros? So on one scale, one could argue that if there is a basis to distinguish, in such a case, then we cannot glean from Kodesh Matan Torah. If, however, that is not the case, then perhaps one would assume that a mitzvah that applied then could apply now as well. In earlier shiurim, we've discussed a concept that the Chazon Ish touches on in the mitzvah of Kibbutzim, something which is called Ratzon HaTorah. Sometimes you find that there is something that the Gemara refers to as a din d'oraisa, even though it is not explicitly a mitzvah sasei or a mitzvah lo sasei. One of the classic examples Rosh Weiss has discussed at length, writes in his writings, is the mitzvah of Tzar Balei Chaim. The Gemara writes above Nesiyah Daf Lamed Beis, Tzar Balei Chaim is d'oraisa. What's difficult is the following. There's no clear source for Tzar Balei Chaim. If you look in the Rishonim and Aharon, you'll find 11 different possibilities in terms of what is the source of Tzar Balei Chaim. If you look, for example, in Rashi, Rashi writes that Tsar Balei Chaim is derived from the mitzvah of Prika. If the Torah tells us that you see an animal that is overburdened carrying its load, you're obligated to relieve the animal of its burden, the mitzvah of Prika. Rashi writes, doesn't that indicate the concept of Tsar Balei Chaim? If Tsar Balei Chaim was not a priority, if that was irrelevant, why would the Torah insist on the mitzvah of Prika? Or the Ravid writes there in Bava Metzina Shikma Kovetzes that it's derived from the Isra of Lo Sachsom Shor Sidisho, that one is not allowed to muzzle an animal as it is grazing, as it is plowing for you. Why is it that the Torah insists on an Isra of Chasima? If not for the fact that one must be concerned with the well-being of animals. The Rambam even writes, albeit in Mar Nevuchim, the Rambam writes that, look, if Bilam was criticized for hitting the Asam, well, don't you see that it's wrong to do so? And therefore, Tsar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. What exactly do the Rishonim mean in all of these cases? That literally is the source of Tsar Balei Chaim? A person violates Tsar Balei Chaim. He violates the Isra of those Sachsom Shavadisha. Vosachson Shavadisho is a law that applies only under a very limited circumstance. There was no act of chasima. There was no act of plowing. What exactly does the Ravid mean? Very simply the following, that one gleans from the fact that the Torah forbids chasima, that is an indicator. One can derive that Tsar Balei Chaim is a priority. If Bilam was criticized for hitting the Ason, you see that this is something that one must avoid. If there's a mitzvah of Prika, as Rashi points out, you see that concern for the well-being of animals is considered to be a priority of the Torah. The Radvaz writes that it's not an essay, it's not a los essay, but rather it is a din daraisa. Sometimes you can glean a din daraisa even though something is not written as a lav or an essay. And this is something that Chazon Ish terms Ratzon HaTorah. Sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, can convey the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's will, even though it is not formally couched as a mitzvah essay or as a mitzvah los essay. Perhaps one could argue as follows. When it comes to technical Taryag mitzvahs, that certainly is true. Taryag mitzvahs nemar l'Moshe miSinai. If I will ask you, what is the source of this mitzvah to say? It's not sufficient to point to the fact that Avraham Avinu was told this by Kadosh Baruch Hu. That we look to Torah Tzivah l'Moshe. That's what the Gemara says, Nitzin Torah v'nischach alacha. You want to know the mitzvah of Avelus, the mitzvah of Bris Milah, the Isser of Ginan Asha. But yet, if you're dealing on a different plane, Ratzon HaTorah, you want to know what is or is not a priority. You want to know that, is this something that one should pursue? Is this one something that one should avoid? There certainly, that can be gleaned from Kodesh Matan Torah as well. Zrizi Matim HaMitzvos. It's not one of the Taryag Mitzvos. But you see that if the Torah praises Avraham Avinu, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, so therefore this is a midah that is worthy of emulation, not just simply because of a lifnim ashuras adin, but rather as Tsar Balei Chaim daraisa. This in fact could be a din daraisa, even though it is not a mitzvah sasei, even though it is not a mitzvah lo sasei. And the same could apply when it comes to the other examples as well. The concept of Ein Mar Ben Simcha B'Simcha, if this was mandated regarding Yaakov Avinu, even though that was true Kodesh Matan Torah, but you see that that is considered to be a priority. If you look, for example, the Rishonim will not count Hidra Mitzvah, Zek Keli Van Veyu, as one of Taryag Mitzvahs, but nonetheless, if that was incorporated into the Shira Sayam, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuflam and Gimel Beis, Zekei Avin Yisnel B'Afanav Mitzvos, don't you see that min HaTorah, that is considered to be a priority? Something does not necessarily have to be a mitzvah to say or a nisalot to say, which is mefurish b'kra, in order to convey that this is something that the Torah desires. The Chazon Ish writes this in the following context, as mentioned of Kibbur Aveim, where the Chazon Ish writes that when the Gemara discusses the rigorous hagdara of Kibbur Aveim, there the Gemara has a somewhat limited structure. Machilo, Malbisho, Mashkeo, it's necessary to provide certain services to parents. The Chazon Ish writes, what about the broadest issue? The broadest issue of simply broad respect for parents? Where does that come from? Aside from the technical hagdara of kavod and yira, and that the Chazon Ish writes, that's where he uses the term ratzon hatara, that aside from the mitzvah ktsuva of what kavod entails, there is a broader concept of ratzon hatara, and that is the more intuitive approach of kibud av ha'em, above and beyond the technical shibud of providing certain concrete services to one's parent. This is relevant, no doubt, in discussing all that which we glean from Kol Deh Matan Torah. The Rambam writes in Perek Daled Hilchos Avdel that it's true that there is a broader obligation of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, and that certainly is a Din D'Oraisa. But from where do we derive the details? The mitzvah, for example, of Bikur Cholim, the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ha'Em, Bikur Cholim, Nicham Aveimim, here, the Rambam writes that technically speaking, is a mitzvah divrei sofrim, that is something which is gleaned from Kol Deh Matan Torah. That's the sugi in Sosa. Adaf Yudalet, Rav Chava, Rachanina, the pasuk of Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. We're obligated to emulate Kadosh Baruch Hu. How does one do so? So that's Rav Chava, Rachanina tells us, Bikur Cholim, Nichom Aveilim, Kvuras Ameis. This is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, so therefore Mahu, it's similar to what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and Kuf Lamed Gimel, that very same pasuk of Zek Keli Va'anveihu. On one level, the Gemara says it's referring to Hidra Mitzvah, Kav Yalcha, we beautify Hashem through performing a mitzvah, Ba'ofen Hamahuda. That is considered to be Zek Keli Va'anveihu. In Abishol, argues differently that Zek Keli Va'anveihu is Ani Vuhu. Emulation. We're obligated to emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rav Shaul says, Mahu Rachum, Apatza. Mahu Rachum, Apatza Rachum. Therefore, we emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, several years ago, when Rav Shaul Weiss was here for Shabbos, he mentioned the following. Why is it necessary to have both drashos? On the one hand, you have the Gemara in Sota Daf Yudalid, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. On the other hand, the Sugi in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel of Zek Keli Va'anveihu. And his answer simply was the following. That in life, sometimes you can come across a person who has a very giving and a very generous heart. The midah in principle is appropriate, but somehow in practice, it never expresses itself. And sometimes you can have individuals who in practice are very involved in chasadim, but somehow it's done with an improper midah, almost in a begrudging way. The bottom line is, it is done, but it is not done with the openness, with the fullness of the goodness of the heart that ideally is necessary. And his suggestion was that these two sugyas reflect these two dimensions. The sugya in Sota and Daf Yadalid is Mahu Nicham Aveilim Afata Nacham Aveilim. There, the pasuk speaks of the insistence on the bottom line, so to speak, the need to engage. That is critical. But yet the sugya in Shabbos Nafkuf Lamed Gimel Mahu Rachum Avata Rachum Mahu Chanon Avata Rachum. There, we don't talk about the act, but rather the approach, the mindset, and both of these drashos are mashlimo zu azu, that both in fact are necessary. The broadest approach to understand the midah, rachum v'chanun, but also that it expresses itself in terms of those aspects of nichum aveilim and bikur cholim. The Gemara tells us in the Darin, the Sugandath Lamitash, the Daf Mem, that there's certain conditions that are necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The Gemara tells the story of a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva who is ill, and for whatever reason, right, the Talmidim did not engage in Bikur Cholim. And yet, ultimately, Rabbi Akiva came together with the Talmidim, Kibdu V'Ritzu L'Fanav, simply he provided the necessary services. Clean the floor, right, in order to make sure that the physical needs of the chola were taken care of, and that was able to give life to the chola, the Gemara writes, in order that he should in fact recuperate properly. The Ramban writes in Torah Sodom that you see that the first tier of Bikur Cholim simply is to care for the physical needs, right, of the individual. A person can be debilitated, and as a result, certain basic needs cannot be tended to. And therefore, as the Gemara writes in the Darim, right, the very basic aspect of Bikur Cholim is to see to it that those needs, in fact, are taken care of. Those needs require some type of personal interaction, personal interface. Rav Moshe writes, for example, that a call over the phone can accomplish some measure of Bikur Cholim. However, in terms of that element that you have to be able to see hands-on the needs of the Chola and service the Chola, that requires a physical presence, a more hands-on interaction. And then the Ramban points out the following, that aside from addressing, of course, the physical needs, the Gemara writes that Tefillah is a requirement of Bikur Cholim. It's necessary that a person has to be mispalel ba'ad ha'chola, and as the Gemara comments, not only for this particular chola, but we always bestow chola Yisrael, we always expand the tefillah in order to embrace shar cholim as well. But the Gemara comments explicitly that tefillah ba'ad ha'chola is a necessary condition, just as Rachmana Litzlan Nichum Aveilim, Hamakom Yinachem is essential, that's part of the Nichum Aveilim, that type of tefillah, Hamakom Yirape, that also is considered to be an inherent part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim as well. So therefore physical services must be supplied. In addition to that, that element of tefillah is required. And then the Ramban and the Shah and others emphasize the following, that just as it's necessary to take care of the physical needs of an individual, it's necessary, right, on a different plane, to raise the spirits of the individual himself. After all, right, illness can be debilitating physically, but also emotionally, psychologically, a person can become impaired, and therefore it's necessary to be mechazek that person begufo, as the Shul writes, uvinasho, in order to give strength to the nefesh as well. And therefore, religiously, it's important that a person should have a certain perspective on what he is experiencing, and that's part of the aspect of Bikur Cholim. Like, we don't believe that anything is random, anything is capricious, and therefore the proper hashkafa, no doubt, is that a person should always engage in a certain measure of introspection at all times in life, and that is true as well when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, experiences a certain type of ailment or illness, that sense of introspection, that sense of vidui. Obviously it requires a careful, a soft hand, right? We don't rush in and tell the Chola, you should realize that the reason that anything has occurred is because of, we're not privy to Kavshi the Rachmana, but in a certain sense that a person should respond physically and respond spiritually to that which a person is experiencing, that the Shalah writes is all part of the element of Bikur Cholim, and therefore the need to be able to go ahead and to see to it that all of these elements are fulfilled. As Rav Moshe writes, that when it comes to lifting a person's spirits, showing him that others are concerned, that can be accomplished even at a distance, over the phone, for example. However, part of the aspect of Bikur Cholim requires certain face time, and therefore, ideally, there should be that physical presence as well. It is interesting, I've often mentioned that even though when it comes to so many mitzvahs, the Torah teaches us by instruction. How do we know Dinei Shabbos? How do we know Dinei Kashrus? You can point to so many Psukei HaTorah that tell us the do's and don'ts in a very rigorous way. And where is it that we're taught, like the details of Bikur Cholim or Nichum Aveilim? Here, it is not by instruction, but rather it is by example. No, the Torah tells us, this is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to me Levakeh Chol regarding Avraham Avinu, Yom Shlishi, L'milaso. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to us, Afrei Hashem Elokeichem Telechu, that just as I, so too this is what you should do. The same thing is true when it comes to Nichum Aveilim. The same thing is true when it comes to Kfuras Ameis. One certainly could have envisioned that there would be an explicit pasuk that would tell us that you're obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And the Rambam writes, there is no explicit pasuk. There is the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. But where do we see the priority? By example. That, I think, is something which is quite profound, in the sense that there are certain mitzvahs Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to teach us by instruction, and others that the Torah teaches us by example. And that is also part of Mahu Avata. That if one wants to convey to others the primacy of these aspects of mitzvot that are ben adam lechaveru, chasadim, nichum aveivim, bikur cholim. One will accomplish something through a rigorous discussion of dini bikur chom nichum aveivim, but the Torah insists on teaching by example. Right? If one is brought up in a home where chesed is this very part of the makeup of the house itself, where one growing up witnesses hachnasas arachim, bikur cholim, nichum aveivim, that perhaps is the most profound way of teaching the primacy of these mitzvot. And indeed, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Klal Yisrael regarding these imperatives, not through a mitzvah ksuva, but rather achrei Hashem Elokeichem Tereichu. You know, the Gemara applies Mahu Afatza not only to mitzvot, but even to Talmud Torah and disseminating the Mitzvah of Hashem. It means that we have a special imperative when it comes to Shivudim and mitzvot and Adam Lechaveru, to be able to teach them as HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us, namely by the example emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Mahu Afatza. And this, no doubt, is exactly that case of Bikur Cholim in the very beginning of Parshas Vayera. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to Mevaker Cholim at this point in time, you know, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that this was Yom Shlishi Lini Lasto. This was already day 3 after Avraham Avinu's Bris Mila, and therefore at that point Avraham Avinu was a chola mesukan. It didn't stop him from looking for opportunities of chesed. That is the dual chesed we experience, the tenth of Avraham Avinu of Hafnasas Arachim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu coming to be Mevaker Chola. But nonetheless, you do in fact see that Yom Shlishi Milasa is considered to be a significant time. The same, no doubt, is true when it comes to Anshei Shem, the Yom Shlishi, Biyosam Koavim, that you see that this individual is the Chola Mesukan on Yom Shlishi Milasa. In fact, the Ran quotes Tudeus, whether that means until Yom Shlishi, or does it mean that there is something significant about day 3 itself? Does it mean day 3 and of course day 2? Or does it mean that no, that perhaps day 3, somehow a lot of the strength of the body has already been debilitated, and yet, therefore, one could envision that he is in a weaker condition even on day 3 than on day 2. Today is Maran, regarding the second day after Bris Mila. This is not only relevant in terms of Bikur Cholim, this is also relevant in terms of Dinei Shabbos and Bris Mila. For example, the Magen Avraham discusses in Shin Lamed Aleph the following issue, and as you know, there are different practices of Moedim. A Bris Mila Bizmana, of course, is Docha Shabbos. Mila Shelo Bizmana, as we mentioned in the very beginning, is not Docha Shabbos. Only day 8 it is Docha Shabbos, otherwise it is not. So if it is a Mila Shelo Bismana and the first opportune time can be on Shabbos, we'll be told that no, the Bris Mila is delayed until Sunday. What about a Mila Shelo Bismana on a Thursday, for example? On a Thursday, why not? Well, perhaps because of the following issue. If a Bris Mila is done on Thursday, and the Gemara tells us as a result, the individual is a Chola Mesukan on Shabbos, and therefore now it's necessary to address the needs of the Chola on Shabbos, potential Chilul Shabbos, is that allowed? A Mila Shelo Bizmana cannot be Docha Shabbos. Can a Mila Shelo Bizmana be performed on Thursday day 1, Friday day 2, Shabbos day 3, now the individual is considered to be a Chola Mesukan? For after all, the Mishnah tells us on Shabbos that Marchitna Sachat from Yom Shlishi Limilasa, that it was necessary to heat up water, to be Machal Shabbos, in order to tend to the needs of the child, not only on day 1, but even on day 3 as well. It's a fascinating issue in Shulchan Aruch, that do we allow a Mila Shelo Bizmana on Thursday, even on Friday, where, as a result of the Bris Mila, one is putting the child in a state of a Chola Mesukan on Shabbos, where in earlier times it was clearly necessary to be Machalo Shabbos for that child on Shabbos itself. It's a very interesting lumbus. But on the one hand, the mitzvah should take place today, but the mitzvah is not Docha Shabbos, but as a secondary, an ancillary effect of the Bris Mila, that could necessitate Chilul Shabbos. And I argue, therefore wait and don't do the Bris at this time. You'll see even today, Moedim have very different practices when it comes to a Mila Shelo Bizmana on a Thursday. Because of this discussion, Shachnarachin Shin Lamer Aleph, you find in Shabbos, and Daf Genun Gimel Lamer Aleph and Daf Beharit, a similar discussion which is referred to as Ishtapu Chamima. What happens in the following? That Mishnah tells us that there's a need to wash the baby before the bris and to wash the baby after the bris. That's clear. So therefore, if this was a bris milah on Shabbos, they would see to it that they would prepare sterile hot water on Erev Shabbos in order to use for the purpose of the bris on Shabbos itself. Let's assume, for example, all of the water would spill on Shabbos. And now I did not do the bris. I would not be allowed to be machal Shabbos in order to have a bris on Shabbos. We assume as the shita of the chachamim that bris milah is dovah Shabbos, but not machshirei milah. And a lengthy discussion in Rishonim whether you could rely on amir lanachrin to heat up water, for example, in order to perform a bris on Shabbos. The sugya in Shabbos and daf kufam at amar aleph. Do we allow Amir Lanachri for a malacha min ha-Torah in order to allow bris milah? Machlokas Rishonim. What about the following? A more complicated case. The water spilled entirely. I cannot heat up water. Can I do so ayin enachri? Machlokas Rishonim. The Balicha says yes. The Rambam says no. Several days. Good. What about this? I heated up a measure of water. I heated up two different pitchers of water. One for washing the child before the bris, one for washing the child after the bris. And all of a sudden, one of them was knocked over and spilled out on Shabbos. Now all I have left is a single pitcher of water, which is only enough to wash the child before the bris. But you know what? Maybe I'll do the following. I'll wash the child before the bris, do the bris milah. Now the child is a chol ha-masukah. Now I can heat up water, not for bris milah. I can heat up water because of pikuach nefesh. If the child is in a situation of pikuach nefesh, of course. What is machal Shabbos daraisa? But is one allowed to, so to speak, right, set up a situation of dechiyas yisurim? I could have avoided the dechiyas yisurim by not performing the mitzvah bris milah at all. I knew going in that as a result of what I was doing, in such a case, now the child is a chol ha-masukah, and now I would have to be machal Shabbos. Am I allowed to do so or not? That is the machlokas of Baal HaMor and the Ramban. The Baal HaMor writes that in that case one is not allowed to do so. Just as one cannot be machal Shabbos from machshirei milah, so therefore heating up the water is machshirei milah. And therefore you cannot set up the situation of dechiyas yisurim. If that situation becomes a reality, rachman l'tzlan, someone is ill, of course, pikuach nefesh is delkei Shabbos. But you can't generate a condition of pikuach nefesh consciously. And the Ramban counters with the phrase of ein mitzvah ella l'shata. The Ramban writes that, what do you mean? Right now you have a mitzvah to perform. That mitzvah is bris milah. You're able to do the mitzvah, do the mitzvah. What will happen afterwards? Well, you'll cross that bridge when you get there. Right now you have a mitzvah to do. Do the mitzvah. Keter gamor. As a result, it may require the chiyas yisurim. So, if that is the case, we'll do whatever is necessary. But the Ramban writes, you don't find that we would tell you not to do the mitzvah now in order to avoid potential dechiyas yisurim in the future. And therefore, fundamental issue, the Baal HaMor in the Ramban, whether one should perform the bris knowing very well that that could result in dechiyas yisurim. It's similar to our case of the performance of a milah shel bezmana on Thursday, knowing that that could result in the child being machal ha-masukah and the need to machal ha-Shabbos for that child al yedei Rechitza. But that is classically the machlokas, the Baal HaMor and the Ramban, whether a person b'makom mitzvah can opt in to situations of the chiyas yisurim. Even the Ramban, who says that this is allowed, is because the Ramban comments that there's a mitzvah to do, and therefore one is obligated to do the mitzvah now. But this shaila often surfaces when it comes sometimes to, right, elective procedures. Right, very often, right, the person has to have an elective procedure, and you know how it is, the weekdays can be very full, and the weekend can be an easier time to do so, right, not simple at all, that a person can have elective procedure toward the end of the week, that would require a person receiving follow-up attention, right? On Shabbos, for example. Number one, at times that could result in Dechias Yisurim. Number two, even without Dechias Yisurim, right, the person can be debilitated on Shabbos. In the midst of Onek Shabbos is also something which is of concern. Sometimes, for example, the yeshivas, the children are off on Friday afternoon. It's a convenient time for doctor's appointments, for orthodontist appointments and dentist appointments, right? Sometimes follow-up is necessary. Sometimes, even if there is no follow-up, as you're leaving office, right, the orthodontist will say that, you know, your braces may hurt you for the next 24 hours because they were adjusted, or the shot may have a little bit of an after effect for the next day or so, right? These are issues that one has to always contend with, of setting up the situation of A, potential Dechias Yisurim on Shabbos, and B, just simply the fact that a person will not be in the best frame of mind, a person can't fully experience Oneg Shabbos, right? Because they'll be in some pain or some discomfort during the time of Shabbos itself. But in a strict sense of putting yourself in a situation of Tichias Yisurim, Machlokas between the Ramban and the Balamor. An interesting issue regarding the Balamor as follows. The Ramban says, you do this Bris Milah. There's a mitzvah to do so. You must do so. The Balamor writes, no. How can you do the Bris? As a result of the Bris, the child is a chol and a sukkah, and if he makes halal Shabbos, he can't set up the situation of Dechias Yisurim. Let's assume that we were to push this Balamor, no? The Balamor is telling us that you can't do a bris. For whatever reason, a person doesn't follow the Balamor. Follow the Ramban, you did the bris milah. The Balamor would say to us, you shouldn't have done so. So I'll turn to the Balamor and I'll say the following. What exactly did I do wrong? What exactly is the issur? Bris milah is the issur. It's a milah on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah Rambam. Bris milah on Shabbos is Zoche Shabbos. Now, I did the bris. A mitzvah, the Ramban writes. Now the child is a Kolam Asukam. It's a mitzvah Rambam to go ahead and tend to the needs of the child. So the bris was a mitzvah daraisa. Right? Heating up the water was a mitzvah Rambam. Where did I go wrong? What exactly was the issur? Now, so Rav Balamor would say that you shouldn't have done so. You shouldn't have set up the situation of Dechias Yisurim. But it's very unclear from the Balamor, what is the issur? What exactly is the issur of doing so? Rav Shlomo Zalman, for example, writes in Minchas Shlomo that the issur, according to the Balamor, is an issur d'rabbanan. It's not an issur d'araisa. Min HaTorah, right, every juncture, every stage, was a great mitzvah. A mitzvah of bris milah, a mitzvah of hatzalas nefashos. Right? Where did you go wrong? At a level of daraisa? No, perhaps this is drabanan, but because of the concern drabanan of not putting yourself in a situation of dechias yisurim, that can override the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of bris milah on Shabbos itself. In the Sefer Zikarno of Shmuel Zosky, they quote the name of Rav Shimon Shkav, that this is part of the essay de Shabbasa. Interesting Yiddish. That the Torah has an essay, we discussed this in the past, above and beyond the Yisrei Malacha. Just because something is not a Malacha does not necessarily mean that it is absolutely mutter. And that is the Ramban at length in Parshas Emor, where the Ramban writes, if a person is smart enough, he can have a typical weekday and technically avoid all of the Lamites Malachos. They'll ride their horse to business. Riding a horse is only Yisrei Rabbanan. They'll do business only Yisrei Rabbanan. They'll write some goods. So write either Ali Denel, Red Kalach, or Yad. You can have a normal business day. You can sit in office the entire day of Shabbos. Just make sure technically you don't violate any Lamites Malachos. Is it true to argue that that person is Shomer Shabbos? The Ramban writes, absolutely not. And that is why the Torah has, in addition to Lamites Malachos, a world of Shabbaston, Tishvos, and Essay. And a possibility of Shimon Shaf mentions is that the Chias Yisurim is in the category of Esed HaShabbos, a very, very great Kiddush. So I began with that concept of Ratzon HaTorah. Rashi Weissman suggested that the Issur, according to the Balamor, of the Chias Yisurim is Ratzon HaTorah. Technically speaking, it's true. At each point in time, you didn't violate a mitzvah, you didn't violate a lav d'araisa, but is that enough? That the Torah says not to violate an issur. I'll give you an example. The Machlokas, the Minchas Chinuch, and the Noda B'Yuda, the very opening sugyas and Sfachim. A person positions himself b'derech rechok. It's an opportunity to bring a Korban Pesach. But you know, the Torah tells us there's an exemption. If a person finds himself so far from the Makom Mikdash, he will be exempt from Korban Pesach. Good? All of a sudden, Pesach is coming, so you know what happens? A person bolts. Now a person distances himself from the Makom HaMikdash. Now technically he's exempt, right? Because he is the Derech HaChokah. What would you say, right, about such an individual? A person will see to it that he can opt out of the performance of mitzvot. Right? Is he exempt? Of course he's exempt. He's Bederech HaChokah. But what exactly does that mean in such an instance? But notice the other right, you don't find that there is an iser of a person positioning himself Bederech HaChokah. That's what the Slach writes himself in Daf Gimel. And then Chassinuch, beginning of the Chibur, the Mitzvah Korban Pesach, the right said, what do you mean? There's a Chiyuv Kares for a person who fails to offer a Korban Pesach. And then Chassinuch goes as far as to argue that that should be called a Bittul Essay. If a person positions himself outside of close proximity to Mikdash, now he can't offer the Korban Pesach. Well, both situations sound somehow extreme. To argue that that's a Bittul Essay, there I saw it. He wasn't Mevatel Essay if he's exempt because he finds himself the Derech HaChokah. To argue that there is nothing wrong with also seems to be a very difficult position intuitively, right? We would like a person to try to exercise all of his kochos to opt in, not opt out, to a performance of the mitzvah Hashem. Right? The person will sit and learn the sigis and Megillah and try to figure out, is there a way that I can go from city to city and that I'm neither a Ben Krof nor a Ben Ir, and therefore I don't have to hear the Megillah at all? So how would you respond? Right? This would not be an appropriate shidduch. No, the person is trying to look for every opportunity to avoid Kriyas HaMegillah. Right? And I'll tell you, no, but technically speaking, I was here during Amar HaShachar, I was here during the Tamazrich, and therefore I'm neither nor. Yeah, but you would certainly argue, but is that the Ratzon Hashem, that a person should try to exempt himself from every opportunity of performance of mitzvah? Certainly not. And the notion that not fulfilling Ratzon Hashem, that's a din d'oraisa. It doesn't have to be a mitzvah sasei. It doesn't have to be a mitzvah lo sasei, but that's comparable to a case of Sar Balei Chaim, where there's no love, there's no essay, but isn't it clear that this is not the Ratzon Hashem? Hard-pressed that a person could argue the Ratzon Hashem is that a person should specifically position himself Bederech HaChokah in order not to bother with a Korban Pesach. That certainly, one could argue, is a Din D'oraisa, even if it's not called a Bittul Essay of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The same perhaps could be suggested, right, regarding this issue of the Chiyas Isurim. The Baal HaMor will admit that this is not called Chilul Shabbos. Bris Milah was not Chilul Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh is not called Chilul Shabbos. The Baal HaMor would simply argue as follows. But aside from the technical Hagdana of the Chilul Shabbos itself, but nonetheless, isn't it clear that the Ratzon HaTorah is that a person should not consciously put themselves in a situation of the Chiyas Yisurim? The Ramban would argue, generally yes, but not if it is the Makom Mitzvah Sasei. But everyone would agree in the broadest sense that structuring the Chiyas Yisurim, that certainly is not considered to be, right, in the broadest sense, the Ratzon Hashem. That's not merely an issue of Midos, but rather, as you see from Tzar Balei Chaim, that in fact could be an absolute case of a Din D'oraisa. That's a very fascinating possibility. We'll have to discuss the next year more of the details of various aspects of Bikur Chol and Nichum Aveilim, and then we'll touch on that Rambam for Gidalat Ochosavah Machazayin, where the Rambam writes that what is the priority when you're faced with Nichum Aveilim and Bikur Cholim. And that's where the Rambam writes the Kiddush, not found explicitly in the Gemara at all, that Nichum Aveilim takes precedence over Bikur Cholim. Because the Rambam writes, in a typical case of Bikur Cholim, not a case of a Safek Sakana, a typical case of Bikur Cholim, you're servicing the Chai. That's a Chesedim HaChai. Nichum Aveilim, the Rambam writes, is a Chesedim HaChai as well as a Chesedim HaMeis. And therefore the Rambam writes, on the scale of things, if a person has to choose or prioritize, the Rambam writes, Yirah Lish, Nechama Savirim, Kodem, the Bikur Cholim. We'll have to discuss, we touched on this in the past, by this Rambam in Perek Yedaled, right? And then we'll discuss some more details, right, Lamaisa, of the mitzvahs of Bikur Chol and the Mizumot.
Right.
Yeah, there are, correct.
I don't know, you know.